Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have that first one out of the way, and now you turn your attention to Alabama.
It sure was good to get it out of the way. It's always, you're always nervous before you play that first game because you just don't know how people are going to play and how they're going to react. And it maybe took us a little while to get going, but we played pretty well.
Overall, you're pretty happy, you know, with all the different aspects of the game, maybe other than kickoff coverage?
Well, the kickoff coverage was fair except for two of them, but the rest of the kicking game I thought was a very good improvement over last year. I hope we can keep that going. And we were effective enough offensively and defensively. We started playing better in the second half and really had an excellent second half.
Earl Bennett really got a lot of the accolades from the game, SEC Offensive Player of the Week. But to me, a guy who really impressed was DJ Moore. Had a solid season for you last year, but right out of the box, he did a little bit of everything on Saturday, whether it was returning kicks or covering kicks or playing well at defensive back.
He did. He had an interception. He also made a couple of big tackles on some third downs to keep Richmond from getting first downs. He's just a playmaker, seems to be around the ball all the time, and I think he's going to be a pretty good kickoff returner for us, and hopefully he can get us in good field position like he did last week.
Bobby, I know by today you want your team to turn the page and focus on Alabama, and you faced him at LSU. How would you characterize a Nick Saban coach team?
Well, you know, the LSU, they had some fantastic athletes down there. And, you know, I think he does a good job of using the talent that he has. And, you know, nothing special scheme-wise. He just lets them play. And I think that says a lot. A lot of times people overcoach them or, you know, try to do too many things with them. And he just lets them play, and they play hard.
Bobby, I've been in this town for over 20 years. I can't remember a Vanderbilt football game that might get this much hype, attract this much interest. How exciting is it for you and your team to be in this situation Saturday, given the historical dynamics to this whole rivalry?
Well, it's very exciting for us. Again, ever since I've been here, I've tried not to look in the past of Vanderbilt football, just in the present and the future, and see what we can do here. And, you know, this is a big step for us, no doubt. But, you know, we're going about it in a businesslike manner. I think our players are. And they were in here. They had a day off yesterday, and which the NCAA makes us do. But we had a bunch of them in here watching film on their own. So I think they've got the right attitude, and they'll work hard this week in practice, and we'll get out there and see what we can do on Saturday.
And when we I talked to Kevin this morning, Coach, he just said that, you know, he's just so shocked during the game that Earl Bennett's still receiving just one-on-one coverage. And you would have to think, and I ask you this question all the time, and you'd have to think that Nick Saban's first priority defensively is going to be jam Earl Bennett at the line, roll coverage over the top. You guys going to game plan for that, or are you just going to kind of just react how they play? But you got to think that there's other guys that are going to have to step up, because Earl Bennett, to me, I would have to think Nick Saban would be an idiot not to roll coverage and to jam him constantly.
Did you call Nick Saban an idiot?
Yes,
oh,
I do.
I was just kidding right there.
I do think he's an idiot, and another.
Frank's not a big fan, Coach.
Well, look, you're right. Earl's going to grab a bunch of attention, and we know that. People have got to step up. I think George Smith has got a chance to do that. Sean Walker's got a chance to do that. We're going to have to also do it with some running game. We got to run the ball better than we did against Richmond, but when people do that, you're right, Frank. We've got to be prepared to go to something else or be creative and put Earl in a different position that we can get him the ball. So, yes, we're anticipating that. We don't know exactly what they're going to do, obviously. But, you know, our guys have figured out pretty much several ways to get Earl the ball that hopefully they can't take it away from.
And when you look at the quarterback in Nixon, a lot of times when you have a great receiver like that, you tend to, you know, obviously know where your best receiver's at. And are you confident in his kind of understanding of coverage to see what's going on, that he doesn't automatically think Earl first, but yet goes to the proper read first.
Yeah, that's very important, and I think that's one thing that Chris has done better beginning of the midseason last year, and, you know, just managing the game, knowing where to go, reading coverages, seeing if they're trying to double-team Earl or load the box, whatever. You know, he's getting better at those kind of decisions. And Coach Kizer, Jimmy Kizer, our quarterback coach, I think does an excellent job of getting Chris prepared every week for those kind of situations.
It's pretty obvious to me that those two, you talk about Chris Nixon and Earl Bennett, that they had spent some time in the offseason and, you know, maybe away from, you know, the regular team practices. They spent some time working together, but they really looked like they were in sync on Saturday.
Well, Chris has a nice little knack of throwing the long ball. He's just sort of got it dialed in. I hope he can continue to dial it in, because that's a weapon. Not only is it a weapon to score points quickly, but it's just a threat that opens up the shorter passing game for you. When people are backing off and playing deep, you know, you'll be able to throw more effectively underneath, and we need to be able to do that too. We got to make some ordinary plays. You just can't throw it deep all the time.
Overall, were you satisfied with your defense? I know you gave up some yards in the first half. It was sort of a bend but not break. Were you happy with the way the guys played on D?
Well, yeah, we're getting to where we want to be. It just the first half seemed like they had it all the time, but they were only 3 of 7, I think, in third down conversions in the first half, and 3 of 11 for the game or something like that. But, you know, you always want more. You know, that's what coaches, you know, look at, you know, if they gain 2 first downs, we don't want them to gain any. You know, it's just a crazy world of college football.
Isn't it amazing, though, Coach, you can't, and I've heard it, and I'm like, why is coaches keep saying this all the time? Little things, little things, little things. And you preach that so much, and then you look at a game in the Michigan game and a field goal protection, and just as far as where you know the emergency is in the gaps, and you kind of let a guy go through, which you do that in high school and Pop Warner ball, and little things like that, if you don't do them right, can get you beat. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, and you think that would be the last thing that young man would allow to happen, and but you see it all the time, and that's why the mental aspect of football is much more important than the physical aspect. And that's why teams like Appalachian can go up there and beat Michigan. And, you know, as Yogi said, it's 90% mental and 50% something else.
So when we were talking about the UT game and UT kicking to Cal's dangerous return man, Jackson, and you go into a game with a great return guy, do you automatically kick away from him, or do you say, do you kind of, you know, rally your team, give them confidence to say, hey, you know, we're going to go bottle this guy up? How do you as a coach approach a great returner?
Well, we don't automatically kick away, because sometimes you try to kick away, you get about a 10-yarder shanked off to the side over there somewhere. We try to be smart about returns. We try to read them, know where they're going. But if we get the opportunity, and we're doing more directional punting now, and if anybody saw the game, we've changed our punt formation to a spread situation with the wall back in front of the punter. We feel like we'll be able to punt away from people, and we're going to do some rugby kicking and things like that to try to just disrupt people's return games. And you're right, if you got a choice, don't kick it to them.
Bobby, I called this a rivalry. It's been more a series than a rivalry, because Bama's beaten Vanderbilt 22 years in a row, but the fact is you almost beat them there last year. Do you think that sort of lessened whatever mystique Alabama has in the eyes of your players, that they know they can stay on the field with them, and come Saturday with a big crowd, will that serve them well as the game gets later?
I think so. That's all they know about Alabama-Vanderbilt football is last year. These guys weren't alive 22 years ago. Some of them weren't. So I think that's overdone. And we're talking about 2007, and, you know, the only reference they got is 2006. You know, we're just playing.
athlete.
Should Michigan be in the top 25 this week?
No.
All right.
I got one, you got one.
All right.
They're over.
Well, good luck this week, Coach. Thanks. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, Yogi, when you reach a fork in the road against Alabama, take it on Saturday.
Thank you. Right.
Bobby, the sticks are going down Saturday, I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. See you later.
All right. All right.